It's a tenet. Okay, so we're continuing in Hamafgid on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Okay, so basically you have the case in our Gemara, which is basic case again. If you Shom Rechinam, let's say, so you're watching someone's thing for free, and in general Shom Rechinam is exempt. He's potter if it gets stolen. So, but he has to swear to prove that it was stolen. So if he says, I don't want to swear, I'm not willing to swear, so then he's just going to pay, he pays up. Okay, he could pay up and then instead of swearing. So if he does that, so again, he's going to pay the owner the $100 and instead of basically saying, I can't prove that I'm innocent, so therefore I'm going to pay $100. Okay, fine. Then what happens is, then let's say they catch the ganav, they catch the thief, and the thief has to pay kefal, he has to pay double. So the question is who the kefal goes to. So the Mishnah again says that it goes to the shomer. Okay, to the shomer. Even though he's not really the owner. Okay? So the question is why? In general, the idea of kefal goes to the person who was stolen from, the owner. So, but here, somehow, the owner, again, we already dealt with this, but I'm going back because we already know the maskana. We already know the conclusion of how this whole thing works out, but we're going back now. In order to get the beginning of the Gemara, we had to go back to what we, you know, to the, we had to go to the further. But now we're going back to the beginning. So the Gemara, why is it that the Shomer gets the Kefal? Why should Shomer get the Kefal? It wasn't his item. So if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, okay, Lemisha because on Etzlo, this is the Kivan the Shilem kind of called Tashul Mao. But since he paid, he somehow acquires all the payments, the restitution, which will be brought about by this object. Since he paid, it becomes his. So the Kefal becomes his. So the question, so the Gemara asks, down four lines from the bottom, Maskif La, and Lama Gimel Beis, Maskiflaromi Varchama, Vaina the Makdo Shavalolam. He says, how could it be that the Shomer acquires the Kefal somehow? But the problem is the Kefal doesn't exist until later. Until later, when there's a thief and when it's caught. So how could you ever sell or purchase sell the Kefal to the Shomer? Rashi says. How could you be makne? How could you sell the kefel, which the chayil ganav isn't chayven yet? Kefel only comes out later. So how could you ever be sold to him? Okay. So it says, because the principle is you can never purchase something that doesn't yet exist. That's the principle in Kenyan. It says, even Rameir who holds that you could purchase something which doesn't yet exist, that's only like fruits of a tree. If a tree is awaiting to bear fruits before they emerge, Rameir says you could buy them. Because they're bound to come into existence. So you could buy something which is definitely or is bound to come into existence. He says, but here, when did you buy the thing? It'd have to be way back when. At the time of the Rashi experience, but it had to be all the way at the time when they did their initial transaction, namely when he gave him the thing that he sold him. At the time where he gave him the thing, look at Rashi. So give him a second. Yeah, Rashi. Mi emer de migneva. Okay, Tosus is bothered by this, but mi emer de migneva. It says on top of the alam alshe alsi liganev the likni lekefa b'shas mesira. At the time where he gave the shomer the item. Who knew that it was going to end up being stolen, such that he at that point would transfer to him the kefel? Because definitely the time of the kinyan is, because the way in which you purchase an animal is through the meshicha, is through dragging the animal, or picking up the animal, moving the animal. So the time, that only happened one time, which is at the very beginning, when he gave him the animal to Bishomer. So at that moment would have to be the time in which he transferred to him the kefal. But the problem is that at that time, who knew that there was even going to be kefal? You just give a guy an animal. So kefal is if it gets stolen, I mean, who says it's going to get stolen? And even if you were to say that it would get stolen, not every time this kefil emerges, maybe you don't even find the ganav. You average the time something's stolen, you don't find the guy who stole it. Even if you did find him, because the halacha is that if the ganav himself admits that he stole it, then he doesn't pay kefil. Okay, because kefil is a fine, and fines are the court finds you guilty, then they fine you. But if a person comes clean on his own, so then there's no halacha of kefil. So the whole thing is so far-fetched in the first place. So even Rav Meir, who holds that you could purchase something which hasn't yet come about, that's something which is definitely going to come about. But this is so far-fetched that it's even going to come about. So therefore, definitely, at the time of the giving over of the animal, you definitely can't transfer or sell the kefil which may come about and may not come about. That definitely doesn't work. So therefore, how do you ever transfer or sell the kefil? Right? So since you can't sell the kefil because it doesn't exist, so why is it that the shomer gets the kefil? It should really belong to the balabayas, to the owner. Right? So this gets us to Rava. Amar Rava, nasik omer lo, l'fashatigno v'tirtzav etel shalmeni, hari parasi k'nil fami achshav. So this is the big thing from last time, right? Is that it's as if they said at the time where he transferred the item, he said that if it turns out that it gets stolen and you don't want to swear, then retroactively, then this action of giving the cow over was a sale. Okay, and therefore, from the moment of, if it turns out this happens, then from the moment of the giving over, it was really belonged to the original, to the shomer, and therefore it was stolen from the shomer, and therefore he gets a kefil. Okay, so far so good? Any questions so far? And this is just a pshat of basically what we're at. Okay, so it turns out retroactively it belonged to the original guy. Okay, it belongs to the shomer. If this whole thing happens, it turns out it belongs to the shomer, and therefore it was stolen from the shomer, and therefore the shomer gets the kefil. So now it says, and we're right up to now. So it says, Maskif lo Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira has a question. Ihachi. Let me ask you, according to this logic, let me see what you guys would think at this point. At this point, let's say, at the time where the kefil, right when you're about to pay the kefil, at the time where they catch the thief, there's shearings on the animal. Okay, so the animal has shearings on it. Wool. So if you shear off the wool, who should get that wool? Who should get that wool? Going to this stage of the Gemara. Who does that wool belong to?
The shomer,
right? Definitely. Right? Because it's his animal. Okay? Simple, right? This is too easy a question, right? It says, but the problem is that it's not the law. Okay? It says, if that's the case, then the shearings and the children that the animal had should also belong to the shomer. Because that's the thing. He owned it retroactively. That was the whole deal. He owns it retroactively. Alama Tanya, Alama means why. Alama Vahe means why. Okay, Alama with Alva means like it seems. But Alama Vahe means why. Alama Tanya, why did we learn in a Braisa, Chutz Migizah Seva Deseha, that the Shomer gets the kefil, he gets everything, but he doesn't get the shearings and the children that the animal bore. Okay, Rashi. It turns out that it was the shomer's from the very beginning. He should get all the shearings and the children that it had from the time that it entered when? Right? All the way back from the time he gave it over, because retroactively that was the sale at that very moment. It turns out it was his retroactively. Okay, so that's a powerful question. I mean, if you're going to tell me that he owned it retroactively, so he should get the shearings. So if you're going to tell me that he doesn't get the shearings, it must be because it's not his retroactively, it's only his from later. Well, only his from later, how do you sell a guy kefil? Then you're just selling him the kefil. Right? In other words, because the animal, you're saying, really wasn't his. So now when did you sell it? So it must be there was a separate purchase on the kefil or something. But how, right, you're not selling the whole animal, so it must be the animal really belongs to the original guy. And it's just a separate thing that you're selling him the kefil. Now that's the problem, right? It must be either you sold him the whole animal. If you own the whole animal, then he should really the shomer should get the shearings, the children. So apparently he doesn't get it. So why doesn't he get the shearings and the children? Because the animal belongs to the original baal, to the baal bayis, the original owner. So since the animal belongs to him, so he gets the shearings. Oh, so then what does the shomer get? He's just selling him the kefil. But how do you sell kefil? Kefil is lo bal olam. Kefil doesn't yet exist. Right? So it's back to the original problem. Okay, that's a powerful, powerful problem. So the Gemara says, Ela amar Rav Yizera. So Rav Yizera answers, Nase ke omer lo chutz mi gizo sel lo desel. Okay, it's a sneaky answer. But it's, since we're making up this whole thing anyways, that it's as if they stipulated the whole time, it's as if they stipulated that if the animal gets stolen and I don't want to pay, then retroactively I sold you the whole animal except for the shearings and for the children. So the original owner was always, never was selling off those rights. He was keeping all the income which it would generate, okay, or all the income that it would generate through children and through shearings, not through kefil, but all the income of share that he never sold him. So the Gemara realizes, umay paska, I mean, how are you, Rashi says, paska sadavar b'chal adam, shadat da'akos kefil, m'yavol kach, v'in da'akos adam, so was, now how are we stipulating, unqualified stipulation, that this is what a guy's thinking? I mean, just, what's the sense of that? I mean, you can't just say that, it's, even the Gemara knows, you can't just make anything up, I mean, what's, is there a sense to that? You're just saying that? Why? Because the Brisa says that? But what's the sense to that? I understand to say that the Stam is. It's interesting because previously the Gemara never asked that because it understood there was a good logic to say that you'd have this retroactive deal in mind. That's a good argument. But this is just already ridiculous. You're just making this up. So you have to give a sense to it. So Gemara says no. Stama, the Milsa, the Shvacha. Stama, the Milsa. It's a standard assumption. The Shvacha, the Asa, me Alma. Of an inish tamakni, that profit which comes from the world, that comes from outside, like from the world, external profits, he is a person who will sell to the shomer. Shvacha de migufa, but the profits that come from the animal itself, its shearings and its children, lo of an inish tamakni, that much a person is not going to sell. Okay, that much a person is not going to sell. Okay, Rashi. No Rashi. Okay. No Rashi, that's it. So that's the Gemara. Okay, so basically it's saying is that that's the standard assumption, is that a guy who's willing to sell the kefil, he's not willing to sell. Kefil is like a profit which comes from outside. But profit which comes from the thing itself, that much a guy's not going to sell. So we have to explain, what's this categorization of Shevach which comes, it doesn't just say he only had a mind to give him the kefil. Says he had a mind to give him the shevach, the profit that comes from outside, but not the shevach which comes from inside, the internal, from itself. Like, what's that idea? Apparently he's drawing some sort of distinction, a categorical distinction. Right. He's not just saying, oh, he only had a mind to sell him the kefil, apparently, and not the shearings. Right? I mean, that's what we're saying, is it's an arbitrary type of thing. But apparently he's not satisfied just to say that. He's making it some sort of categorical distinction here, you know? Maybe a question is like this, is that, because David's mentioning, is that the whole idea was that the guy doesn't want to sell him his animal. He's not really interested in giving up everything. He just wants to somehow protect himself, get back his principal. In order to do that, he's going to reward the guy with the kefil, right? That was kind of the idea, right? Yeah. He says he only needs to reward him with the kefil. He doesn't need to reward him with also the shearings, right? Yeah. But maybe the opposite way. Why not say he'll just give him the shearings and he'll keep the kefil? Like, how do you make up, you know, like, how do you come up with these rules? I mean, why is kefil the thing that he's giving up? Or why not say he only gives him kefil but not dalav? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, apparently, it's like, how do you draw the line? So it seems that's what the Gemara is trying to do, is it's through this distinction of the shevach which comes from itself or shevach which comes from the world. But what's that idea? You know what I mean? Like, why isn't it the opposite? Maybe he only wanted to give him the shearings. Maybe he only wanted to give him the kids and not the shearings. Or maybe it's the kids and the kefil, or, you know. Maybe say just one thing, so just kefil, but let him keep the other way, you know what I mean? Yeah. So Jonah's saying like this, is that there's a difference between the gizos of vados, the children and the shearings, versus the kefil. Okay, and the difference is between the shevach, the profit which comes from the thing itself, and from the outside. Is that, like Jonah said, well, is that if you have an animal, so an animal is really a multifunctional entity. I mean, you could use it for, You know, I guess you use it for meat, you could use it for plow, you know, for working, you could use it to produce wool, you right, you could use other kids. I mean, a lot of functions of an animal. Right? I mean, animals are very multi-dimensional. And that's all part of when you own an animal, is that it has many uses, and that's your animal. Okay, and that's part of the ownership of an animal. And the Baal is not giving up his animal. I mean, he doesn't want to give up his animal. It's not his objective here. He's not rewarding the guy by giving over part of the ownership of his animal. It's his animal. Why does the Shomer get my animal? It's my animal. But there's all this kefil is like, you don't buy an animal so that you could end up getting kefil. You know what I mean? Kefil is if it gets stolen, and you go through the whole hardship of getting stolen, then there's a fine, and the fine goes to you because you're the owner. Okay, but see, that's like supposed to be like a windfall profit. Like the windfall you get, it's nothing to do with the ownership of the sheep. It's like accidentally, when a guy's a thief, so the fine is that he has to pay double, and who does he pay it to? Oh yeah, he pays the Baal. That's like windfall profits due to the fact that you happen to own the sheep. You happen to be in the right place at the right time, that kind of thing, you know? Because you own the sheep, so you end up getting the double. But that's not part of a person's ownership of the sheep. So what's saying is that when we're saying is that in order to get security, in order to secure his item which he's giving out to the shomer, he's willing to give up the kefal. It's saying he's willing to give up the windfalls, which windfall profits which emerge from the sheep. That's the side. That's that much he's willing to give up. But he's not going to compromise his very investment, you know, the very item that he has in the first place. That much is not the psychology is not in order to get security. He'll give up his profit. This is his profit. I mean, you realize a guy could buy a sheep in order to, that's his business. That's his business, is that he has sheep, and he has his sheep, but he gets the wool shearings, and he sells that to the wool manufacturer, whatever, and he gets animals, and he said little baby sheep, and he sells those. I mean, this is basically, it's a business. So he's not, when he gives out his sheep, he's not intending to give up his business. That's not the idea of the thing. He wants to protect himself, and in order to do that, he'll say, you know what? If I win the lottery, or I don't know, if I get a bonus, like, I'll give you my bonuses. You know, so that's like, look, it wasn't coming my way anyways. I didn't expect to be getting this. So look, a guy could part with that kind of a thing easier. It's not something that he's counting on. It's not his, it's not the standard, you know, it's not what he bought the sheep for anyways. It's, you know, it's like, you know, it's good.
Really, really
like someone told me, actually, someone was telling me that they got, their boss gave them, like, some money for, I don't even remember, but some sort of a bonus or some money that, they worked for some company and they paid out of their own pocket certain money to buy food for, I don't know, whatever, you know? And they never thought they were going to get the money. And it turned out, the boss said, oh, you know what, I should pay back for that stuff. So they took that money and they used it to go on a trip. And it was like over many years, so, you know, they got $1,000. They said, you know what, I'll fix my house with that $1,000, you know? So they wouldn't on their own fix their house for $1,000. It's not, they can't take money out of their pocket, and you know, that's their money. But it's like, well, there's an idea of like money you weren't counting on. The person has because it's very easy to spend that kind of money. It's not your business. It's just like a windfall. Just came to you. You know, you just happened to get it. You get a tax refund. You just, whoa, they just gave me money because I don't know why. They just did. I just got money in the check in the mail. So you'll spend that money. You know, that's much easier to spend money that's not your money you're counting on. So again, the sheep has profits. That's part of ownership of a sheep, is it has it's a cash producer. You're not giving up in order to protect yourself. You're not going to give the shomer your underlying entity, your underlying investment, underlying asset. But you'll give it the windfall. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. That's the psychology. So it's further refining. Reb Zera is further refining the psychology going on in this. You know, we didn't have this aspect of it. I mean, through the questioning, you see, it makes sense. I mean, it's not what's a guy willing to give up. The thing is that apparently what Chazal assessed is this is what he's willing to give up. And it's good is that you don't have to give up that much to the guy in order to, you know, to get him to, it's like it's, the guy doesn't really want to swear, and he wants to, you know, you're getting the guy to swear, you know, to not swear, and he'll pay up the whatever, and he'll get kefal. Apparently that's like Chazal to evaluate how much you have to give to the guy in order to get him to, you know, in order to get him to you know, to not swear, to be okay with. Apparently, you don't have to give him up. You don't give him that much. Alrighty. So now I'll ask you another question. So at this stage of the game, and the Gemara's going to have another answer, by the way. The Gemara's going to have another answer.
How does it address the question, though, sir?
So, Max, how does it address the question? Did he sell an animal or did he not sell an animal? So I guess you'll have to say is that a person certainly could sell an animal sell the animal and its, you know, and its usage or whatever, the profits of the animal, but not sell him but maintain the profits, which it sends off. Like, you could sell an animal like that. So he's selling him the animal and its kefal and its windfall profits, but he's not selling him the income of the animal. I mean, so he'll be able to use the animal, or he'll be able to, you can split it apart. You can split bios of an animal. Like, who would you say owns the animal? Maybe let's just pursue this, but who would you say owns the animal? The animal itself. Who gets the animal itself?
Well, you're saying that
it seems like there's three things. It seems to me there's three things. I mean, we're going to get to this. Let me just fill you in on an interesting detail here. It's like, it's a machlokas. Who owns the animal itself? Who owns the animal itself? Okay? Who could, like, sell the animal? Who's called the owner of the animal? So the Rambam says that the original owner owns the animal. Okay, and basically the guy only gets the kefal, which pushes, I think, is what Max's question is. So now, aren't you getting back? So all he owns is the kefal. So aren't you back to the whole problem of it's lo ba lo olam? So what did he sell him? The kefal. That's the only thing he owns. So that's lo ba lo olam. If you wouldn't have said this, you'd say he gets the animal, really belongs to the, you know, it's a retroactive sale.
Right.
But what are you selling retroactively? The kefal? But the kefal's lo ba lo olam, and that's kind of what you're asking, right? And it's a problem on the Rambam. But I think the simpler way to learn is Tosfos's way. It's not 100% clear Tosfos holds this, but Tosfos definitely holds this in the Havamina, and he never changed it. And I think that's what I'm learning Tosfos holds this way. The simpler way to learn is that the animal itself belongs to the shomer. What does that mean? I guess that he could work the animal, he could use the animal to do his work and whatever, but it's just that the shearings and the kids, you know, the profit, the intrinsic profit which the thing produces belongs to the shomer. But the animal itself, the ownership of the animal and who gets to use it and keep hold on to it or whatever, really belongs to the owner, and to the shomer, and therefore the kefel goes with whoever is the underlying owner. So he didn't sell him just the kefel. It wasn't lo ba lo olam. No, he sold him the animal, and the animal brings with it kefel. The only thing is, it's like he's excluding the gizel of the sale. So it's like it's almost like, I mean, the way we're learning is like, He knew that in order to get him the kefal, maybe David, this is kind of what you're getting, is that in order to get him the kefal, he had to reward the guy. And the only way he could reward the guy is to get him the kefal. Problem, the only way to get him the kefal is to sell him the animal itself. Problem is that he doesn't want to give the guy his profits of the shearings and the shavach that it produces. It's a profit. He gives him profit. So he excluded that. And so he knows, it's like the only way. It's like, it's a tricky thing, is that he could split up ownership of an animal, different components. So the thing is that the only reason why he's selling it to him is really because he wants to give him incentive in order to give him the kefal. The only way to give him kefal is to give him ownership of the animal. But at the same time, he doesn't really want to give up his profits, so it's as if we impute to the Baal, it's getting more complicated what we're imputing to him, we're imputing to the Baal that he's giving it over to him, that he's selling him the animal itself, but not for the profits, the internal profits. Okay, and therefore the kefal goes by the ownership of the original animal. So in a certain sense, that's a little bit smoother. But it doesn't run into the problem of lo ba lo olam, because he sold the animal itself. The Rambam's way says that he actually sold him the animal itself, and all that he ends up getting is the kefal. But then you get stuck in the problem: isn't it lo ba lo olam? Read the Rambam. Rambam's like this. It's in Shelo Pikadon, Ches Aleph. He says, "Amafkeres lachaver behema okelam." So if you deposit by your friend the animal or utensils, v'nignivu avdu, and they're stolen or lost, amar harini mishalim. He says, "I'll pay." V'lo ratzu leishav. I don't want to swear. V'nimsaganav, and they find the thief mishan tashlum kefel. You pay double. Katov v'ach mishalim avre chamisha. So you pay 4 or 5. Lami mishalim. So who do you pay it to? To the shomer. Okay? Sha'arei Amar Ashalim, because he says, "I will pay." And with him saying, "I will pay," he ends up getting the kefal. Okay, he's not explaining why yet, but fine. He says, Chazra beima atzma. Chazra, I'm sorry, if the animal is returned, okay, if the animal is returned, beima atzma chazer slabaleha. The animal itself goes back to the owner, to the original owner. Okay, he, the gizoseha, v'uvladoseha. It and its shearings and its children. She'in zeha shomer kona sheva haba migufa, because the shomer is not acquiring the profits that emerge from the animal itself, ela sheva haba me'elav. Okay, just the profits that emerge that come from nowhere, from the world on their own. The kvar biyarnu she'in agan of machzir gizos uvlados ela lefnei yish. Let's leave that alone. Okay. Okay, so that's what he's saying. So it says that he's only kona the shevach, which comes from the world. Okay, from the external windfall profits. But the animal itself, and the shearings, and the children really belong to the original owner. Yeah, so I guess the shomer paid, so I guess he'll have to return the money that he paid. So now the animal's going to go back to the owner, and then he'll get them. And then when the animal is returned, so I guess he'll get back the money, because he gave the money back because the animal is lost, so he has to restore the value of the animal, the sheep, to the owner. But now he gave the sheep back to the owner, so then he'll get his money back. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't say that, but I'm assuming how else, right, of course he should get his money back. Yeah, so on the side here, the Megoros Mitzunim, and then Refrankel says, Tosfos argues. So in Tosfos, it's not so as simple as he's making it sound, but is if you look in the Tosfos, it's our Tosfos, it's like three lines from the end, Umeshani, okay, three lines from the end, and that Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, keep going. The Meshani, and this is the Gemara answer, this is Rava's answer, that retroactive deal. Nase ke omer lo lechishetigna v'teshalmeni. Okay, it says, if he said that when it gets stolen and you pay me, Hare Parasi Knu Lechame Achshav, my animal is sold to you from retroactively. Sheguf HaPara Macharlo, because he sold him the object, the animal itself. Dehashtah Kefal Shalom Emela. And since the animal is his, so therefore the Kefal is his. Okay, since he sold him because Kefal just comes with the animal. So since he sold him the animal, so he gets the Kefal. Okay, so this sounds explicitly, right? The animal says. So you'll say, why am I saying it's not so clear? Why is it not so clear? Anyone say why it's not so clear? Right, because this is the Avmina. I mean, you could argue, yeah, Ra Tos is explaining at this point. But then the Gemara says, yeah, but if the animal is his, then what about the Giza Selva de Sel? What about the shearings and the children? So now you could argue, the Rambam will argue, I would guess. I mean, the Rambam will argue, yeah, now the Gemara is differentiating and saying, no. He wasn't selling him the shevach haba migufo. He wasn't selling him the animal. He wasn't selling him the shearings. He wasn't selling him the children. All he was selling was the kefal. So how do you know that Tosus is learning, you know, that this is even the way the Gemara is concluding? And the Tosus is explaining but you could argue, look, Tosus never changes it, and this is the way he's explaining it, and he's kind of trying to give you the whole give and take of the Gemara. So that's the way they want to learn him. I remember I looked through the Achronim. I think the Achronim really want to learn Tosfos that way. So
that's tough. That's not usually the case. I mean, usually Tosfos is on the.
He's explaining the thing. I know, but he's kind of explaining you the whole give and take. I mean, he is explaining the give and take. But I'm going to assume. I mean, I think anyways the Rambam is a Chiddush, because the Rambam, you kind of get stuck in. And you're asking, Max, is that if you're going to tell me that the animal belongs to the owner, and the shearings belong to the owner, and the kids belong to the owner. So what belongs to the shomer? Just the kefal?
Right.
But that's Dar Shalva Olam. So then basically, what did he sell in retroactively? The kefal.
Right.
But could you just sell someone kefal? There's no such thing as kefal.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why.
Yeah, the Rambam
says everything belongs to the original guy except for the kefal, or except for the shevach abam elav, the profit, the windfall profits.
Right.
So, but that's windfall profits are all over all of them. That's the whole idea.
Right.
So what did the Gemara get end up? That was the whole back and forth. Is that it's all over all of them, and that's why he had to do this whole retroactive deal.
Right.
So now you're not doing the retroactive, you know, so then what does the problem really solve? So that's why I'm assuming, although, you know, it makes sense, whether Tosfos actually holds that or not. It's a good svar to say, you know, to say not like the Rambam, it's a Chiddush. He's positing a whole new, you know, somehow, I don't know, somehow the whole thing more shifted gears, and you know what I mean? So I'm just going to treat Tosas as he holds that way, you know?
Right, but are you saying that...
It's the problem. The problem is we have to explain for the Rambam how he gets around this problem. It's the Rosh HaOlam. I mean, it sounds like it's he's stuck. But he does. But I mean, just because he does and there's a svara for him, it doesn't mean that that everyone holds that way. I mean, the simple way to go is the way Tosas originally went, and it didn't tell us that the more is changing on that. So I mean, that's what I'm assuming. Okay, and I think they say, I mean, I see here he quotes, I mean, I looked at, I remember, it's been months ago, but it says here that the raya of the Tshuvas HaRashba is not solid. And I think it was a shach. I mean, I looked through all these things. I know I still have my notes that it's Machlokas, and I don't have how it ended up, what everyone said, but I think that's how they want to learn the Rambam. I mean, that's how they want to learn Tosas. The Tosas stayed this way. Yeah, I mean, the Gemara, the simplest way to read the Gemara, you could say, Chutz Migizav L'Zel. It's like he's excluding, except for the Gizah Hadassah. He's excluding that. And the Rambam's learning, I mean, we have to define it a little bit. But, I mean, that's a simpler way to go. Never got off of the idea that he was selling the animal. That's how the Gemara got around the problem of, Balaam. And what about the Gizah Hadassah? No, it's as if he said, except for the Gizah Fun. He said, except for the Gizah Hadassah. He never said, except for the animal. The only way you could get, and the idea is, the only way you could possibly get him the kefil is by giving him the ownership of the animal. So that's, sure, you want to be as minimal as possible. But how could you possibly get him kefil? Kefil goes to whoever owns the animal. So the animal itself you have to give. Now you don't want to give him so much points, so you're excluding the gizah of the south. So if you would ask the guy at that moment, what would you want? That we're imputing to this the guy, but the whole thing makes sense. If you really would, the guy would sit down and work out, what do I have to give the guy? I want to give him incentive. I want to make sure I keep my security. I want to give him the minimal thing. I don't want to give up all my profits. But on the other hand, I want to give him something. I'll give him the kefil. The only way to give him the kefil is to be given the animal itself. So I'll give him the animal, except for the Yosef of the Seven. You can split it apart. Split apart the animal itself and its earnings, its intrinsic earnings. You can do that. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That is Shevach Alba Me'alma, Shevach Me'gufa. You could split it up. You could say the animal is the animal itself, and its windfalls, and then you could just split off the earnings of the animal.
Right.
If you borrow, you can imagine. Let's say you borrow a guy's thing, borrow a guy's field. So I mean, the guy doesn't want you to be able to take all the money that the field yields. I mean, all the fruits. I mean, he's saying you could use my field. Look, use my fields for a month. You know, hang out, do whatever you want in it. But look, I'm not giving you the money. I mean, this is my income. I'm not going to give you over whatever profits it yields. I'm just giving you over, you know. You want to use it, use it. So in other words, he's giving him the usage of the item. And in order, but again, it's in order to give him over the kefil. So that the ownership of the item itself belongs to the original guy. But any profits, and I, you'll say, what kind of situation is it? One guy owns it, another guy gets the profits? Right, I guess it would be like if you had, let's say, like a lease or something. Maybe that's an example. Like you lease something to a guy. You lease a guy an apartment. So if he uses it for profits, I don't know. So you could create deals. I mean, you have to worry about deals. But I mean, you can have these types of things. And you can split. You can make whatever deal you want. So this is a deal. There's nothing wrong with making this type of a deal. You can set up terms like this. So the saying is, we're assuming, in Aslan, this is the terms that the guy wanted. It's kind of interesting how the Gemara went. At first, the Gemara says, "Oh no, he only gave him the kefil, not the shearings and the kids." Sounds like an ad hoc answer. My apostle, what are you saying? This is what every guy is thinking. I mean, it's getting ridiculous already. So he says, "No, if you think it through, you realize this is the point. What's he securing? The whole idea is he wants to secure his animal because it's a good, it's a cash cow. It makes money for him. It gives him profits. That's the idea of the thing. He's not he's not securing for his companionship because he loves it. This is Elsie the cow that he loves hanging out with." The idea of the security is of his source of income. So now to say that he's going to give the other guy the income of the thing in order to protect his security, what security? Security of what? So that just makes sense. So if you think it through, the Gemara showing this makes sense. This makes good sense. So we're going to leave thinking about the Rambam's in Parashelo because on Ches Aleph. The problem is how the Rambam gets around the problem of Lo Bava Olam, and also what's the machlokes in Tosfos and the Rambam. You know, once you explain how he does, then I guess the question is what's machlokes, why doesn't Tosfos, you know what I mean?